786 games in the National Hockey League, 110 career points, 696 penalty minutes, spent his career with two teams, the St. Louis Blues and the New Jersey Devils. He's a former member of the Lethbridge Hurricanes and has a pretty cool story to tell on top of the story that was his career in a fairly long and successful career at that. Welcome back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you. Very happy to welcome in retired NHLer Bryce Salvador, who played almost 800 games on the blue line for those two teams. He joins us on the program right now. Bryce, thanks so much for doing this, man. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. And I guess, congratulations. Is that what you say on a day today, like today?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, it's, it was a great, great experience, and a great time to play in the NHL. I was just so fortunate. So, to say that I, played in the NHL is awesome. So definitely congratulations.
So what are the emotions that go through your head after you decide to retire earlier this week and now you've had a little bit of time to reflect on it? What are the emotions going through you right now?
You know, it's kind of funny. People have been asking me this a lot, and quite frankly, just, I really felt back in 2010 that, I was retiring then when I went through my injury and stuff like that, and I didn't, really see too much light at the end of the tunnel initially. And so I kind of really went through, that whole thought process of retiring and just kind of going through all those emotions back then. And so now it's kind of like, there's not really any type of apprehension or anything about it. It's just more of a, just more at peace with it because, the fact I was able to come back and play and when I thought it was over before, now, I could have retired any time after that once I retired, when I was able to come back and play.
So what goes into a final decision like this? Like what do you have to weigh? What are the things that you have to determine and who do you talk to when coming to a decision as big as this one?
Well, obviously my family, really talked about that. And a lot of it too was, I definitely, feel that I'm capable of playing and still able to play. But I really felt that here, I'd really only want to play in New Jersey. I didn't want to be looking for, playing on a different team. So it just created a lot of situations and a lot of instances I thought might have been, not very productive for the team. And the fact that, if I wasn't able to, say, finish the season, if I got hurt or whatever, then being the captain, and I just went through that of, being the captain and not playing many games and not being around. And I just really saw how, it's difficult, when your captain isn't able to play. And so I just really, I started thinking about it from that perspective of, I don't even want to come to camp because, even if I came to camp, they'll be like, well, is Bryce the captain? Is he not the captain? And I really felt, mm-hmm. In respect to the organization and to my teammates that, I wanted to make sure that day one from camp that, the next captain of that team was, going to feel that, he could step up and not have to, and that he could take charge. And I thought that whole process was important.
In conversation with retired NHLer Bryce Salvador on the program, so much I want to get into and look back on your career, but let me ask you first something that I'm sure you've been asked about numerous times today when doing these interviews, but that article that you posted earlier this week on the Players Tribune, and a lot of people are just absolutely enthralled by it. It was a really, really good read. Tell me about the decision to write that and to post it there. I think everybody universally loves that website because of the honest and behind the curtains type stuff that we get. What went into your decision to go down that road and write that article?
Well, when I went through the process, when it happened to me and lived it, I just, at the end of that and able to come back and play, I just really wanted to tell that story, back then, because I really thought, maybe there'd be someone else that it could help, that could benefit from some of the experiences I went to, whether, in hockey, out of hockey. I just, it was just what I saw is that, the head and the injury to the head is just, it's so different for everybody. And if you, are so quick to just label something, okay, he's got a concussion or he's got this or, and just get blanketed in something, you might not be, doing what's right for that individual. And in my case, it was my eyes and my ears. And some people say they all tie together. Yes. But, had I just kind of just stayed where I was at and not continued to try to explore, I would have been really, my opinion, trapped. And so just wanted to really share that experience and some of the determination and and the willpower to get better, just as for younger kids and people that are, you know, in, you know, sports or outside that, you know, even though you're in the NHL and, you know, everyone says it's great, but there's a lot of sacrifices and a lot of work, and also just wanted, you know, people to understand, you know, what the players go through and some different situations and pressures, especially being injured and kind of that emotional side. So, and then, you know, to answer your question, why now? I never really wanted to tell that story while I was playing because I didn't want it to become a distraction. Mainly just, you know, I'm playing hockey. It's not about, you know, that it wasn't the right place and time. And then I just, you know, it just felt like now was the time, and especially with the Tribune, you know, kind of emerging over the last, you know, it was just the perfect timing.
It's a really cool site, isn't it? Like, it gives players a voice, and I from a non-professional athlete standpoint, I love reading it, but it's got to be pretty cool from the professional athlete standpoint too.
Yeah, it really is. You know, where you have a legitimate place that has traction, that you can tell a story and has other, you know, professional athletes tell stories, and so it's a really unique channel, and they, you know, they do a fabulous job, and the writers, I worked with Sean Conboy there, and he really, you know, took the time to listen to my story, like, you know, the interview. It wasn't like a quick, you know, 15-minute call, and we started writing things back and forth. It wasn't a lot, like, he really took the time to understand what I wanted to communicate, and went back and forth, and they did a fabulous job.
Well, and I would really encourage anybody, if you're listening right now, to go check out Bryce Salvador's story on theplayerstribune.com. The gist of it is you suffered that concussion during the 09-10 season, took a puck off the head, and as we're starting to learn more and more, concussions affect everybody differently, and the recovery time is different for everybody. For you, it got pretty scary, didn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, at a certain point, like, I didn't even know if it was a concussion anymore. You know, I got to the point where I was feeling good, but I was still off. And, you know, I don't know if it was necessarily considered a concussion anymore. It's just, you know, I had issues with my inner ear and issues with my eye that really needed to be retrained at that point. I kind of, you know, say it's like when if you've been in a cast where you break your leg, and it's healed, it's no longer broken. It just, you need to rehab it, right? And so I kind of say that, like, in the sense where when I started kind of all the rehab and everything, it was no longer a concussion. It was kind of like I had injured, you know, parts of my brain, like my eyes and all that. And I was able to, you know, retrain them basically, or reconnect them per se. So that's how I like to kind of, you know, really explain it. Like, not that I had this concussion for this whole year that I missed, rather, you know, I had an injury, had a concussion, here's where the symptoms. And so it was, you know, there's two distinctive parts.
Any point where you were discouraged, any point where you're like, geez, I mean, this might not be happening. This might be involuntarily ending my career.
Oh, definitely. Lots of times throughout that year, even when I was, you know, found answers and starting to get better, you really just start, you know, well, am I going to be able to come back? I just missed a year. Right? You know, you missed a whole year in the NHL at the age of 35. You know, the game, you know, evolving, especially right now, a lot of the kids are, you know, much younger, the players, more skill, it's faster. And the game's really exciting now. And you know, to miss a year of professional sports and then just think you're going to come back in, you know, and just play, you know, you gotta be respectful to the game. Like, it's a, you know, so all along the way, and then even coming to camp and throughout the year, you know, you're always were, you know, always had a little doubt in the back of your mind.
And yet you did it. Like, you came back, you played a number of seasons that year. The year you came back, you go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, and you were able to do that with your kids watching. That must have been huge for you.
Well, yeah, it was, like I said, I think when you're faced with adversity, there's always, you know, what I've heard and what I've read from, you know, story upon story and different, you know, different people, whatever, you know, athlete, non-athlete, is that, you know, there's, you know, when they're faced with adversity, there's usually, you know, one or two things that kind of really, you know, help, you know, shape your mind into wanting to do something. And I think, you know, what I really realized is how powerful, you know, the mind can be when you really get determined, you know. Not that it so surprised me, obviously, throughout my whole career, you always have adversities and you overcome them, but, you know, it's amazing when, you know, you have a trigger moment. And that for me was my kids, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, I played a long time in the NHL and, you know, I was 35, and if I didn't play another game, you know, I would have been just as happy then as I was now retiring. You know, it's, you know, in the NHL, it's a great thing to be able to say. And, but, you know, I just realized at that point, my kids did not remember me playing hockey. So it just been this dad that said he played in the NHL, right? So that was kind of my, you know, my defining moment and kind of the, you know, what I, my kind of my crutch there.
Once again, it's a really cool read. It's up on theplayerstribune.com. We're talking with Bryce Salvador, who announced his retirement from the National Hockey League earlier this week. Hey, I got to ask you, we're here in Calgary, so 2 hours away from Lethbridge, a place that you know very, very well. Five years with the Lethbridge Hurricanes, a great way to finish your career with a Western Hockey League championship in your fifth year. How, to anybody who might be listening in Lethbridge, how fondly do you recall your time with the Hurricanes?
It was instrumental. I really, it was an awesome, awesome time there. And, you know, the families, the Bill families I lived with while I was there in the organization, and Bob Bartlett, Bob Louts, and just, you know, some of the teammates and some of the families that I think are still there. So I spent a lot of time there, went back there even after when I was in the minors for the 3 years, went back there, went back to Lethbridge, trained there. And so in the summer. So yeah, it's, you know, I still go back actually. My wife is from Bull Island, which is, I guess, about 50 minutes away from Lethbridge.
Yeah.
So we have roots there. So, you know, I haven't been back in a few years because I have kids now. But, you know, now that I'm done, we'll be going back out there probably once a year to the area. So
it's
a second home.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, and you take a look at, you know, your jump from 5 years in the Western League to then making the turn to pro, like wasn't an easy road to the NHL for you, was it? Like you played your overager year in the Western League, then 3 years in the American League, and then you got the crack in the NHL. Like it was a grind for you, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, it was a lot of adversity up and down throughout that whole story. And, but like I said, it was every part, the whole path was meant to be. And I'm a big believer in that. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, did you want to play in the minors? You want to play? Well, you know, it was, I absolutely think it was an important part of my career, playing 3 years in the minors and developing down there. So I look at every chapter and you can always look at, well, you know, what's the bad part of that part of your life? Well, I'm of the character, look, well, what's the good? So,
yeah. Tell me about your time in St. Louis and breaking in with that Blues team at that time. Like, what do you remember about your time with St. Louis?
Well, it was an awesome time to come in to St. Louis. That was, you know, it was instrumental to just my development. I started playing with Al McInnes. I was his D partner first game. You know, he spent 3 years in the minors, and you get your chance, and, you know, your very first professional hockey game, you look over to your right and Al McInnes is, you know, starting the game with you, and, you know, played 2 years straight with him. And so it was, you know, to have, you know, to start your career off playing with a guy like that and him be your partner and sit beside him in a stall, it was, you know, it was just a dream come true. And it was really, you know, it was a kind of the transition year, well, not year, but more of like, you know, the next 5 years is when you had an older, the kind of the end, in my opinion, of just the veteran NHL era, where you had, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys that had played, you know, 600, 700 games, 800 games, captains, like, you know, the game's become so young. But, you know, that year, or maybe the second year, but, you know, had, you know, Keith Tkachuk and Chris Pronger, Al McInnes, Bergeron, Doug Weight, Pierre Turgeon, like all these guys are in the room. You know, you're in the room with all these guys that could all be captains, right? And you just don't see that anymore. So, you know, I'll always cherish that, where you kind of, you know, had a lot of veteran guys that had played a lot of games, that were journeymen, that, you know, you got to, you know, listen to their stories and listen to all their experience. So it was really, really a cool time to enter the NHL at that time and be in the locker room with all those great guys.
Well, hey, Brace, Al MacInnis is a legend in this city. He won a Stanley Cup here in 1989, and he is forever aflame. Like, he is a legend here. Tell us a little bit about Al. Like, what's he like to play with? What's he like to be beside him in the locker room and that type of stuff?
Oh, it was Mr. Al MacInnis every day. You know, even, hey, just call me Al. No, it was Mr. Al MacInnis, and I sat right beside him, and, you know, the joke was, like, I think for the first year, I didn't even say a word to him. I was just, you know, just making sure, you know, give him as much room as possible. And, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, it's, you know, must have, you know, how easy is that to play with Al MacInnis, you know, and, like, who couldn't play with him? And I always say, yeah, it was easy. But then I also looked at it, too, as, like, if you can't play with Al MacInnis, and, like, you can't play in the game. Like, you're done just as quick as you think you might have made it. So I always say there was a different kind of pressure playing with him, too. It was like, you know, you always really felt like, you know, wow, like, if I can't play with him, like, who can I play with? But that aside, he was just a true professional, true leader. He was really my first example of, even with the success of what he had, how he always came prepared to play every game and was, you know, great shape, worked hard, you know, very quiet, but knew, you know, spoke up when it was the right time and just led by example, right? Never heard him complain, never heard him complain about being hurt. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, a consummate pro. It was a kind of like, it was a good learning experience when you start seeing these guys that have had a lot of success and how they still respected the game.
Just a few more with Bryce Salvador, retires from the NHL earlier this week. And I got, you played with a lot of legends in your career, hey? A ton in St. Louis, and then you get to New Jersey and who you playing in front of, and Martin Brodeur. Tell us about Marty, and how easy is it playing with Martin Brodeur as your goaltender?
Oh, it was, it's like having another D-man out there. It was phenomenal. It was just, yeah, it took a while. You come down and, you know, the puck gets dumped in and you're thinking you're going to go pick it up. And then he's actually hitting you on that at the hash marks, You know, and you're actually skating, you know, take a little bit of adjustment to realize, you know, you don't have to go back all the way, you know, he's going to put it right on your tape. And then in fact, you know, or you pull in the, you know, the first forechecker and he's going to bypass both of you, hit the winger. So it was a pretty cool experience, you know, to be in a room with a guy like, you know, Marty and all that he has done, and just how another example of just a true professional of, you know, had every record possible almost for a goalie, you know, going to be a quick, you know, inducted to the Hall of Fame, and how he came every day, you know, and wanted to win and wanted to be the best. And so it was just, like I said, it was a, you know, throughout my career, I've seen that trait amongst a lot of people where they were, a lot of these guys that had success, you know, a lot of people didn't realize is actually how hard they worked. It wasn't fluke.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that you certainly realize, that the closer you are and the more time you spend around some of these elite NHL players. And, you know, that 2012 season for you, not only was it your comeback year and so big in that regard, but you go to the Stanley Cup final. And I know that it didn't go the way that you wanted it to, and you don't win the series. Man, there were a lot of cool moments. You beat the Panthers in triple overtime in Game 7, and, you know, you beat some arch rivals in the Flyers and the Rangers along the way. What are your memories? How do you look back on that 2012 run to the Cup Finals?
You know, it was just an unbelievable experience. It was surreal just in terms of, you know, scraped to get into the playoffs. It felt, you know, we're battling right down the wire. It just came down to, you know, in the first round, just, you know, overtime, like, you know, it could have ended just as quick as it started. And to go from there and, you know, go all the way to the finals is just, the team, you know, it was just so rewarding. Like I say in the article, it had nothing to do with, you know, that I came back or, you know, that I had a great year after. It was just really seeing how a team, a group of people can get together and really when that energy's, you know, going in one direction, it's really powerful and really cool to experience.
Final question for you, Bryce. Really appreciate the generosity of your time today. What did it mean to be a captain in the National Hockey League to you?
Well, it was an honor. It meant that, you know, your peers in the league and everyone you know, respected what you've done for the game and what you do for the game. So to have, you know, they don't handle captaincies, lightly. And so we look back and see, you know, the Devils organization, making that decision. It was, it was an honor. A lot of great captains throughout the NHL history. And so, to be on that list is, like I said, it's a dream come true.
Bryce, really appreciate the time today. I know you've had to do a number of interviews and you know, it's kind of what goes along when you say goodbye to the career, but truly congratulations on the NHL career. And we really do appreciate the time you spent with us today. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.